I want to talk about godly advice for our graduates, but it really is for all of us, and we're going to use the passage that talks about remember when you're young, but young is just a state of mind and sometimes a state of body. But what we want to do is we want to talk about some admonitions that the Apostle Paul has given to a young man, Timothy. When I started this lesson off, I had about 50 verses that I want to go through this morning. We're already running late, so we're not going to do that. So if you'll come back tonight, I'll give you 22 more verses that I was going to use this morning. And there is an outline in the back, if you haven't picked that up, where you can read along with us tonight. First off, we have a great class here graduating. I don't think that anybody can compare to the quality of young people that have grown up in this church and church family. Not that we don't have our problems here and there, but we love God and we love each other. And I'm proud of all four of these who are graduating. I'm glad to say that I've known most of them for most of their life. It's in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy and verse 12 that I want us to focus. For Paul says to the young man Timothy, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech and life and love and faith and purity." In these few verses that we've read for you, or that Hilton read for us just a moment ago, there are certain, I think, salient points that we need to look at. In the New International Translation, he says, set an example. And so for those who are graduating and moving from high school into the next phase of life, whatever that may be, whether it's into a job, into the military, into college, or some formal training beyond high school, be a leader. Be one who excels in whatever you do. Don't let people look down on you, one translation says. Until I come, you need to be devoted. We'll talk about that. But let's look at the New Century translation of this same verse. Do not let anyone treat you as if you are unimportant because you are young. I want to focus on that for just a minute. You're not unimportant. There's not an unimportant person in this building or in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You are important enough for the Son of God to leave heaven, put on flesh, die death on the cross, be put into a barred tomb, resurrected, and put into the world. That's why you need to be an example to the believers, and it's specified an example to the believers with your words, with your action, with your love, with your faith, and with your pure life. When we look at you, when we hear you, when we see what you do, when we see how much you believe in God and how it affects your idea, that ought to be an example to me. And you say, well, Keith, you're the preacher. Why should we be an example to you? Because God's word says that you're to be an example among the believers. By the way, I don't think that relieves any of the rest of us from being examples either. But you've come to a time and a place in life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that needs to be reflective in all that you say or do and everywhere that you go. It needs to show in the way that you care about people, in the way you display your faith, and in your purity of life. There are a lot of things that want to distract you in this world, but you have a direction to go. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul talks to another young preacher that he worked with, Titus, and he says, "Likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself a good pattern for good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility." It's the same idea that we show ourselves as a pattern of others to watch. There are people watching you. We have a good number of young people sitting up front today, and then we've got some other much smaller people, and they always look at those of you who are going to the next phase of life. Your life is an example. Your life is a sermon, and we need to be careful about the lesson that we're teaching. You need to be the example that God has called you to be, an example that's worth following. But then, if you look at verse 13 in our reading, Paul says to Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourselves to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." Timothy was a preacher, and so he was talking about the public aspect, but I want to take this the very principle and ask, what are you devoted to? What do you spend your time at? For some of you, it's ball practice. For some of you, it's electronics. For some of you, it's your studies. But God says, devote yourself to reading the Scripture and to teaching. The only hope the world has to be a better place is if we'll teach the Scripture and the world will hear what we have to teach. And he says this to the young man Timothy. He says, that's the responsibility that you have, to devote yourself, be devoted to the reading of the Scripture and to the teaching of the Scripture and to the sharing of the gospel. When we began to look at those responsibilities, I'm reminded of the words spoken to Joshua by God. In Joshua, the first chapter, the verses 8 and 9, God says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Joshua's about to lead the nation, taking over from Moses. Moses is well in years. He's not able to go into the promised land. He dies before they ever go into the promised land. But Joshua has been trained, and God says the word of God is important. And we need to make sure that we read the Scripture and understand the word of God. For when we do according to it, then we'll be blessed. And if we don't follow God's word, we won't receive the blessing. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." If you want to know about auto mechanics, study the manuals. If you want to study about medicine, study the medical books. If you want to study about science, study the science books. And if you want to study English, study the English books. If you want to work on whatever the world has to offer, there are books to do that. But if you want to grow in the faith, study the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, because that's where you learn about Jesus. You don't learn about Jesus because I tell you the story. Well, it's important for preachers to tell the story. It needs to be based in the Word of God. But you have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to search the Scripture for yourself and to find Jesus. And that's one of the things that the young man is being told. In Acts chapter 17, verses 11 and 12, Luke records these words about these people in Berea, and he says that the people in Berea were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the Scripture daily to find out whether these things were so or not. More fair-mindedness, I like that term, for it means they were being fair in their assessment of what's going on in life. Devote yourself to reading the Scripture, because this is where you find the essence of life. God assessed the people in Berea noble, more noble than others, because they did go back and search the Word. They did go back and read the Bible. They did go back to the Holy Scriptures that told of Jesus and of His church. Verse 14, there's another admonition given. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, Paul says, "Do not neglect the gift which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you." I believe that each one of us has been given a gift from God. And the admonition here is, don't neglect it. Don't fail to use the gift that God's given you. I don't know how many of you can go back and look in your closet somewhere at the house, and you'll find somewhere an outfit that somebody gave you maybe last Christmas or maybe three or four Christmases ago, and you've never worn it. Maybe you didn't like it. Maybe it didn't fit. Maybe it just wasn't right for you. Maybe you forgot it. Maybe it got pushed back in the back of the closet, and that dress, that outfit, those pair of pants, they've been neglected because they've never been used. God says, do not neglect the gift that's within you, the God-given gift that's within you. It's time to actualize what God has given you to do, what He's blessed you with. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, Paul says that He's given gifts different according to the grace that's given to us, that God has given us different gifts. He says, "Let us use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministry. And he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." There's a gift that you have that may be different from anybody else. Maybe you're the encourager. Maybe you're the giver. Maybe you're the leader. I don't know what all the gifts are that are out there, but as you move into the next phase of your life, use the gift that God has given you. Do not neglect to use it, because God didn't give it to you by mistake. He gave it to you to be used to change the world. In 2 Timothy, Paul comes back and he readdresses the same topic about Timothy's God-given gift. He says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." He's saying, don't neglect what God has given you to do. And so I think that begs the question, what are you doing? Have you even identified God's gift for your life? I'm convinced that God gave nobody the gift of sitting in the pew. I think it's always working in the world, working in the kingdom, helping, encouraging, teaching, sharing the word of God. Whether you know all of it or not, you know what you believe, and you can share that. Don't neglect what God's given you. It's a precious gift, your gift of ministry, your gift of service. And in verse 15, he reiterates the idea of saying that we'd be diligent in these matters and give yourselves wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Be diligent. What are you diligent about? I'm a guy, and I'm not a very classy guy sometimes. You ladies go and get your fingernails done. And I've seen some of the most intricate artwork done on those fingernails. I know some are press-on, and some are stick-on, and some are cheating. But some go to the nail salon, and you got somebody, and they'll draw little stars, and they'll draw the flag, and they'll draw your puppy dog, they'll draw whatever on your nails that you want to be drawing on your nails. And that takes a little diligence. What does it mean to you to be diligent? I believe that it means keep on keeping on. I believe that it means that this is the time that you do what you were given to do. And when you do, everyone will see your progress. Now, if you use another translation other than the New International, you'll find the word meditate. And so I want to suggest that the idea is here to think about what you're doing and do it. Follow through. The New King James Version says, meditate on these things and give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Give yourselves entirely to the things of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 1 and verse 2, in the depths of his law of the Lord, in his law he meditates day and night. If we delight in the law of the Lord, we don't stop and just give it 5 minutes. We meditate day and night. Diligence. Follow through. The psalmist said in Psalm 111 and verse 97, oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. There are a lot of things that want to interfere with what goes on in life. There are a lot of things that want to change your mind and distract you and take you away from God and back to this world and back to things that are more evil. But the psalmist said, I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I don't know how things work in teenage world anymore. It's been a few years since I was there. But back when I was a teenager, the thing that was always important was a note. You get a note from your girlfriend, a note from your boyfriend. You get a love letter. And my wife sent me some. I still have them. On bad days, I go back and read them again. Not bad days in marriage, just bad days in life. Let me clarify that. I think about the good things. And God's word is good. It is called the gospel or the good news of Jesus. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, it simply says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And so for those graduates, I have a surprise for you. What Littleton wanted you to go home and read, I'm going to read for you now. He says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. Watch your life, because life has a lot that it's going to throw at you. And it's not all good. And you're going to be challenged in ways that my generation never was. It scares me to turn on the daily news or to watch the newspapers anymore, because God's word is not held in the esteem it once was. It breaks my heart to see some of the things where God's word is made as an afterthought, if even that. Jesus says in Luke 21 and verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and the day comes on you unexpectedly. Take heed to yourselves, watch yourselves, that you don't get lost in this world and what this world says is fun and party and carousing, because it could be that the day of the Lord comes back and judgment comes and Jesus comes back and you're too busy with the world that you had no time for God. It's important for you to be responsible for yourself and to yourself. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5, beginning or ending in verse 5, he talks about God who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance and doing good and doing the will of God and living as He would have us live. But let me share one other scripture with you. When you watch yourself and watch your doctrine, which is what you believe and what you teach and how you live your life, Paul wrote over in that second letter that he writes to Timothy again. He says, "But you must continue in the things which you've learned and have been assured of, knowing that from whom you've learned them, that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ." Paul addresses the young man Timothy, and he has some pretty good advice for graduates and for the rest of us too. We need to make the best use of our time at all, because we're only promised right now today. And it's time for diligence. It's time to follow His Word. If you're not a Christian, you need to be. You need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what faith comes from hearing the Word. You need to repent of sins, confess His name, have your sins washed away in baptism, raised to walk in new life. But that's not the end, that's the beginning. Be faithful to Him all the days of your life, and heaven will be your home, and earth will be your paradise, if you'll follow Him. If you've wandered away and need the prayers of this assembly, if we can help you as a church, we want to do that. If we can help you anyway, won't you come to the front while we stand and while we sing?